You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the book of Romans and chapter 6. Perhaps we could look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, on your day, your time, God help us, that we might have the benefit, that we might have the understanding, the better understanding, that we might proceed in a way that is more honoring to you, and we are profited more and more. And God, it is your goodwill that we please you, that we bear fruit for your honor and glory, and that we know you and honor you with understanding. And our God, we thank you. In Christ's name, amen. In our looking together at the looking at God's gift, God has given a gift, and the gift is himself. God has given himself in the person of Christ, a personal gift. So it isn't something you can walk away with. It's a person. When you receive the Lord as your Savior, God saves you in a marvelous way, and you come to have a relationship to him. You are made in his image and likeness, and God designed you for himself. And up to this point in history, through history, up to the crucifixion of Christ, they were not generally believing. There were believers, but great Israel wasn't believing as a nation. The Gentiles weren't believing. And so when he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, they paid little attention. In his 3 1/3 years of ministry, there's no question he was certainly known. Not often was he understood what he did and why he did it. But he bore evidence all the time by his words and works that he was who he was. He was born to die. And God did what? God provided his wonderful person for us who were alienated from the life of God. And God had made it possible in the person of Jesus Christ, who would die for our sin and rise again. And in our identifying in his death, we instantly are identified in his life. So that when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we believe in our heart, Romans 10, 9 and 10, we believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead and given us a wonderful newness of life. Now, that life that God has given us, is because of the Lord Jesus Christ, we received him as our Savior. And so Bethlehem, the birth of our Lord, brought forth God's wonderful, wonderful person. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So now, having said that, reminding us a little bit that God has done that. So when I receive, I don't receive presents, I don't receive all kinds of things when I come to know the Lord. No, God gifts himself to us. He gives himself. So it's a person, a wonderful person. And that person that you receive as your Savior, that was born in Bethlehem, Judea, who presents himself to us, is God. God in his magnificence. We are in his presence. And all the world is created for him and by him. And we have been able, in God's grace, if we're saved, to come to know the God who created it all. And our Lord tells us, 1 Corinthians, etc., 50, that God is making it so that sin that takes away the understanding of God and the enjoyment of God is answered. And Christ died on the cross. So that when we receive him again, God gives us the privilege of knowing him. And when we come to know him, that's the beginning and end. Because ultimately and forever, we're told, God is going to be all in all, everywhere. Is God to be understood? Flowers, birds, bugs, bees, as now. But then, wonderfully, God will be perfectly known. Now, God, that's what it's all about, receiving that gift. And when we receive the Lord as our Savior, God, the gift is yourself in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, we share together that God in his person, the Lord Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, God has made it possible for us to know him in a marvelous way. And Jesus, how so? The Lord Jesus Christ, who is full of grace and truth, John 1 and 14. And God's grace, what is God's grace? In the easiest way, quickest way, God's grace is God giving himself without any strings attached. God giving himself to a human heart in all of his fullness. Grace. All about God. Now, having said that, I need that. Because. And it's God says it's a gift. I give myself to you in the person of Jesus Christ, not only as Savior, but as to be everything that you ever need forever. That's what I did. That needs to be understood and encouraged among us. Romans chapter 6, you remember, we mentioned it this morning. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, little word gift, grace, gift, gracious gift, free gift, all of the same plant, all coming out of the same word, to rejoice. And rejoice and be glad. And out of it comes all of these words, forgiveness and gift and free gift and grace and joy, J-O-Y, all of it. Wow. Wow, it's a wonderful thing. Now, God, so what did you do? You gave us a gracious gift, a free gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, that's a gift. I want to get that part. What is the gift? It's a person. Over at chapter 5 of Romans, and you'll see the words, little word gift and gracious gift coming together, as we did a little bit. And chapter 5, picking up please, in verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, Adam, many be dead, that's us, much more the grace, there's your word, of God, and the gift of grace. Grace is a gift. It's a gift. God gives the grace, a gift. And verse 15, and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And sliding verse 17, the whole section is wonderful. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive abundance of grace, gonna keep saying it, and of the gift of what? The gift of righteousness, which shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the gift. And he's going to make a whole lot of things happen and a whole lot of things possible. A righteousness which we don't have. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemn even to so, by the righteousness of one shall the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam's, many were made sinners, that's us. So by the obedience, our Lord, of one shall many be made righteousness. Christ is obedient even to the death of the cross. Verse 20. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Now the gift of God is able to overcome, save us, it does, and it overcomes all our sin. We got a sin nature 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, until we leave this body. Now God, the grace of God overcomes all of that. We mentioned that a little bit this morning. Now the grace of God, where sin abounds, grace, God, what he gives you, abounds in abundance. More than whatever you're facing, in whatever way you're facing it. Verse 21. That as sin hath entered, as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto life, eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. God, you're going to go in your most wonderful way. The gift is wrapped up in the giver. And the giver is the gift. Wow. And God, now there's no way, we know we shared it this morning a little bit, remind us, in 2 Corinthians 9:15, we shared together that thanks be unto God which hath given us the unspeakable gift. It's a gift, and you keep reminding us God's a gift. It's a present. It's free. Free. I want to give something. You don't deserve one drop of it. I want to give it to you, free. And I want you to know that it is unspeakable. And if you sit to try to figure it out, it is beyond words. There's no utterance you can give. There's no paragraph you can speak that will do it. The gift of God is God himself. And there's no way to talk about and explain that gift apart from just saying, God's grace. God saves us by his grace. Now, having said that, God in his wonderful, wonderful communion and helping us in every way, God, you do that. And there's no question you do it. So now, God, and we understand, and I need to pick up that thought, and it's worth doing, Ephesians 4 again, just to look at it and remind yourself. Ephesians 4, chapter 4, and picking up in verse 7, you recall, to keep in mind, chapter 4, verse 7. And you'll notice, please, if you would, in chapter 4 and verse 7, but to every one of us is given grace. God has given us grace. Here you are, little word. According to the measure, how much? The measure of the gift. God has given us a gift. The gift is in Christ. In Christ is God himself. When we receive Christ as our Savior, we receive God himself in his wonderful majesty. So God, you've given us grace according to the measure, how much? Of the gift of Christ. That's an awesome thing, God, you've done. An awesome thing. You've given us yourself. It's unspeakable. There's no way we can talk and explain it. It's just beyond our understanding and our ability to do so. So now, over, if you would, to 1 Corinthians and chapter 16. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, you will please note the end. Remember we did this the other day when we looked at the word Emmanuel. God, Emmanuel equals God with us. And then we did it together with us. And then we went through that. What do you want to do? Save us. Are you going to be there? I'm going to be there all the way to the end. I'm going to be with you to the end. I don't want to be without you, and I don't want you to be without me. I don't want you to be without me in a wonderful way. Together. And you, together. So we're going to go down the corridor of time together. Wow. But Noah walked with God. Abraham walked with God. Now, so here we are looking, God and the grace. And we share together as we did that, so that we could see that little preposition with as we did it, as you go down. And it's repeat, God, you say it every time, because that's what you said, God with us. And we did it. We looked at it. Here's one of them we're reminding. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And if I can, verse 23. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. That's what we did. Together with you. So when you read everything, and when you're all done, and reading the epistle, each one of them, each letter, and God says, grace be with you. I'm with you. So all that we looked at and all of the wonderful things that could happen, all of those wonderful things are going to make possible because he's with us. So as you're reading all the promises and all the wonderful statements, it's God's because he's with us. Emmanuel, God's with you. That's what happened when you got saved. God's with you. Hang on. Now, so in the light of that, over if we would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. And you will notice in all the unfolding of it all as we turn the pages, but starting in the light of the context. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2, may I pick up, please, in verse 9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared, made ready for them that love him. Now, it's encouragement. The believing. Remember the in verse 8, the wise men, the princes, which none of the princes of the world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they ever knew who he was, they just didn't want to know who he was. In God's wonderful providence, he had to go to the cross, and they didn't understand that. Now, verse 9, have entered into, come on board, come on up to. Now, you pull your ship in, and if you can use that illustration, which is, and you bring the ship up to the dock, and you bring the ship up to the dock, and you're going to go on a journey across the ocean to a destination. And you bring your ship up to the dock and enter. What are you going to do? We're going to load the ship. We're going to take the things down here in the dock and going to load the ship. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bring them up to make the ship ready to sail. We have to go on a journey. We get saved. Our journey is to exercise that relationship to God called eternal life. And we exercise that the moment you got saved, you begin the journey down the corridor of time. And so you didn't have it till you got saved. And Jesus Christ himself is a gift, and he makes you ready, fully equipped. He comes on board as captain. He knows the course. He knows the destination. He knows everything. He is able to do everything. He comes on board. He's ready. Are you ready to go to the ocean, out in the ocean? Yes. Now, and you'll notice in verse 9, things which God hath prepared for them that love him. God, you've got an awesome. So when we don't even know what's on board the ship, except we see all this stuff coming on board, and we're going to go out. Now, when we go out on the journey in the ocean, there's all kinds of things, octopuses and all kinds of things, and the storms and everything, and the easy and the hard, and we're going to journey down the corridor of time. Here we go. Wow. Wow. God said, I put everything on board that you need for the journey. I put it all on board. How did it get on board? I am going to be on board. I am going to be on board. You received me as your Savior. I am the gift that you received. So now, we're on board. Verse 10, But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? You know where your this and that is in your life, and where your whatever you have a need in your life, where the keys to the car are and everything. You've got all that. You know that, because it's yours. But, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Aha! We're going out on the journey, and that's God's wonderful ministry to provide. Hang on to that. Verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, we already know that, but the Spirit which is of God. Now, why did God give us that's his wonderful Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, that, verse 12, we might know the things that are, and there's your little words, freely given to us of God? You're going to go, and you won't know. Going down the corridor, you get saved. What do you know? Not much. I came to know the Lord as my Savior, my sins forgiven. Awesome. Wow. What else do you know? Not much. Do you know John 13? No, I don't even know it exists. I just know I received him as my Savior. That's the beginning of all of it that's going to unfold. Now, having said that little bit, chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. And in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians, may I pick up, please, in thought, of verse 20. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise that they are vain, the encouragement to the believing heart. Therefore, knowing we, God, you are trusting our flesh. Verse 21, therefore, let no man glory in man. Don't get all excited about your own flesh, your own brains, blood, brawn, beauty, whatever you want to do. Don't get caught up in it. Why not? Because, for all things are yours. And you don't have to hunger, thirst, and wonder of what you need, my need, to think of all the things we did of recent date, prayer meeting and that. Of all the things you need, for all things are yours. All things? Uh-huh. When Christ came aboard, God himself involves what? Everything. Is there anything, God, outside of you? No. There's nothing outside of you, God. No, not at all. So when you receive me, you received everything. Do you understand? So you don't need to look for anything. Watch. Verse 21, therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, we've read this 1,000 times, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas, that's Peter, or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. Life and death, everything in the world, all the different history of the world, everything, it's all yours. And you are Christ, and Christ is God's, and God has given you himself to be on board your ship, in your heart, as you go down the corridor of time. Christ in you, the hope of glory. As you go down the corridor of time, God, that's an awesome thing as we go down. So as we do our journey, we are fully equipped. We have all that is needed. And God's going to take us down in a most wonderful way. Over, if you would please, to 2 Peter. 2 Peter, if you would. All kinds of ways to do it. I just try to fit it in to help you. And here's 2 Peter. Now God, you're going to keep telling us that you're made made way, no matter what we find in the journey. You were there to make sure we finished the journey. And all of the things, everything that is ever needed, you already have it. I'm able to be to you all things. Remember, we studied Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. And Moses wanted to know God's name. And he said, I am that I am. I am to you everything you ever need. You fill it in. I am hope and life and anything. You fill it in. I am to you all that you need. I am to Israel all that they need. That's what they need to know. If I'm there. That's why Moses is going to say, what? God, if you don't go with us, Moses being the leader, we aren't going anywhere. Isn't that great? I'm not going anywhere without you, God. Wow. God honored it. He did. And God said, I'll go with you. Emmanuel, God with us. That's what it's about anyway. So here's Peter, 2 Peter, and in chapter 1, and picking up, if I can, in verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord. That's how we're going to know everything we have. And now, verse 3. According as it is as his divine, that which belongs to God, power, as the power which belongs to God, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, being able to honor God, please God, walk with God, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, to the wonderful, wonderful, superior, wonderful, wonderful, riding the top of the pile, to, like in Israel, to climb the mountains and walk the high places of the earth. God, you gave that to Israel if they would take it. In the valley, yes, but you can climb the heights. God, you did it. Uh-huh. Now, so here's God, verse 3. According to the power, here's the little word, verse 3, hath given, you've given unto us. You've given us, that's right. Verse 4, whereby are given unto us, there's the little verb again. Given unto us, what? Exceeding great and precious, precious promises. That purpose of the promises, for what? That by these you might be partakers, a sharer in common. A sharer, being able to be together, God, Emmanuel, God with us, a sharer together of the divine, that which belongs to God's nature. How can I enjoy a holy God? Be ye holy, for I am holy, because God makes it all possible. That's why. And therefore, the divine, that which belongs to God, nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So God, you've given to us a wonderful, wonderful position, power, and you've given to us these precious promises, wonderful promises. Now, in order to catch that so you don't lose that, back over to 1 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians, excuse me, 2 Corinthians, and in chapter 1. 2 Corinthians, chapter 1. These are wonderful, precious promises you've given us so that we could practice knowing you, honoring you, exercising your all things. Mm-hmm. Now, here's 2 Corinthians, chapter 1, and you know it. I'm going to pick it up in thought directly if I can. Verse 20. For all the promises of God in him, in Christ, in God, in Christ, I yes, amen, yea, and in him, amen. They're all for real. Wow. Here's a page after page of his statement and his grace to do when people didn't believe and didn't want to believe and didn't do anything with them. But God, we got them. We got them. When you received God, you received all the promises that he ever made, all things. And therefore, verse 20, all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen. Unto the glory of God God's wonderful, wonderful outworking of his wonderful design to demonstrate his wonderful person, and the little preposition, by us. All those promises found in Jesus Christ in your heart are for you to enjoy on the journey. You don't need like martyrdom, like in the New Testament, etc., thereafter. You don't need a martyrdom, you aren't there. But you need safety, encouragement to stay faithful, looking to God, and God, that's there. Now, God, whatever you need, all those promises are there. Uh-huh. And as you go down the corridor of time, you're going to go and exercise them. That's what you're going to do, because you're a custodian of them. God, you're going to show all those promises that you made in the heart of the believer as they are appropriate and as they are going to happen in a most wonderful way. So what are we going to do? They're all yes and amen. And so we believe. That's what we do. So when I read the promises, I'll be with you always. No question. I'm able to do exceeding, abundant, above all that you ask or think. Absolutely, 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 God. Page after page, promise after promise. That's what we're to understand. Not because of us, because that God's promises. And we're going to discover them as we go and read and look to God. And you won't find it on the first 3 days of your journey. You may find it on the 40th day of your journey. You have to wait and go down the corridor, and you're looking to God to do it. And say, I don't understand that promise. Well, it isn't ready yet for you. And if you're looking to God and trusting God, you're going to keep going, and the promises are all going to be there. Uh-huh. That's what they're going to do. Wow, that's an awesome thing, God. A wonderful thing. A wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, over, if you would please, to, and keeping that in mind, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians, if you would. And in chapter 16 again, we were there, just to remind you. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and in verse 23, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Be with you, grace. Grace, what's going to be with you? Grace. God's going to be with you. God together with you. So that's why everything, as we shared a moment ago, that's why it all works. It's all going to work out in a wonderful way. So, and then we read Corinthians. Why is any of that true? Because God's with us. Now we'll go to Romans. And in Romans chapter 16, and in Romans chapter 16, may I pick up, please, the same formula, chapter 16 and in verse 24. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. So Romans, all those wonderful, wonderful things, that's because God said, I'm with you. And when I'm with you, you have everything. I have made provision for your journey through time. I took care of Noah. I took care of Abraham. I took care of David. I took care of Peter and Paul and James. And I'll take care of you as you journey. Now, so therefore, wonderful, keep reading. Where does that all come to pass? In Romans chapter 8, if I can. Romans in chapter 8. And picking up in thought. And in Romans chapter 8, in thought, you would recall, just to get a little flavor of it, chapter 8, picking up in verse 14, and as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God, the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, verse 15, but we have received the spirit of adoption to be placed as sons, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, and because he's our Father. That's right. My Father's going to take care of me. My Father knoweth, think of we read this morning, Matthew chapter 6, 32 and that, your Father knows everything. And your Father knows the need before you ever do. It's not even a question of that. It's a question, am I going to understand why I'm saved, how I'm saved, who saves me? God does. I received him as my Savior. That was his gift. His gift was himself. Wow. So now, therefore sliding down in the light of that, I'll read it. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Absolutely. So are we safe? The ship is loaded. The ship's going down the corridor of time. Verse 17. And if children, then heirs, and heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. So God, we're going to go in your will, in your word, for your honor, for your glory. Much and easy. Just think of the little bit we did in 6 o'clock with the devil's going to have the right to kill many, many believers in the tribulation. No question. Wow. So now, here we are going down the corridor of time as joint heirs. Uh-huh. And now, so having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, the joint heirs, over, if you would, please, reading. The Spirit of God's wonderful ministry, 26 and 27, he's praying. And he prays and he wants God's will for your life. You and I don't know what to say, even when we know how to say it. We can't say it. It's beyond us. It's unspeakable. How can we ever come to grips with all things? God, all things. Life and death, everything. Verse 28, and we know, that all things again, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So God, everything is going to work out. It doesn't matter what you see or feel. You may have the green, blue, and orange plague all at once. It's immaterial. And everything may look like the world's totally gone. You've been hit with a steamroller, and the steamroller's up to your knees. I wouldn't expect a lot as it keeps coming. You got the idea? Wow. But be of good cheer. It isn't, my life isn't in this body. My life is in you, Lord. That's where my life is. You can't roll over me with a steamroller. I can't roll over. You can, no one can. I can shoot you with 5,000 bullets. I can't shoot you. I can only shoot your body. I can't shoot you. Can't do it. Nope. Steamroller can't hurt you either. It isn't about you. It's just your body. Now, you won't know that. You wouldn't know that till you had the body steamroller finish its job. And then you'd know it. Then you'd know it, if you use your imagination. Then you'd know that, may, that doesn't do a thing to me. That's right. But you had to get run over to find it out. I don't wish that on you. No. So in the process, God, you're going to do what you do. I am. And all things work together for good. That's what they're going to do. And when they come over in the light of all of giving and grace, verse 31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Well, that's the question. Who can be against us? If God's for you, and you receive God, and he's on board the ship, as you travel down the highway of time, the oceans. Who's greater than him? Who's more than him? Aren't you a joint heir? Uh-huh. What am I a joint heir for? He is the owner. He's the owner. Our Lord, in his perfect humanity and deity, owns everything. All, that's why he said, all things are yours. How can you have me, have God, and not all things? Whatever belongs to you, God, we are joint heirs, and we share it. We are, 2 Peter 3, 3 and 1, 3 and 4, we are partakers of your nature. We share in common. Now, we aren't God in any way, but you make it so that we participate and enjoy the benefits, and you're going to display the benefits by way of our little lives as we go down the corridor of time. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, verse 32, He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give? Oh, there we are again. There we are, freely give us. And what's the next two words in your little Bible there? All things. See? How can you have him and not have everything? It's impossible. Unless you don't understand how you're saved and why you're saved. Wow, that's awesome. Now, and therefore all things. Therefore, God, are we going to sweat, worry about anything? No. For who shall lay anything in the light of all things? And who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who's the one that makes us and declares us righteous? God does. Who is he, verse 34, that condemneth? It is Christ, yea, died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who maketh intercession for us. And God said, if you don't mind, they have received me as their Savior. I made it possible by my death, my birth, my death, my burial, my resurrection, my being at the right hand of the Father. I have made all of that real and right. And therefore, no one's going to say anything. No one can do anything. You can't get lost. That's what I said. But you have to be saved. If you aren't saved in a saved way, then that's a problem. But if you're saved by the person of Jesus Christ, then you can't be lost. So I'm not giving everyone assurance, walk out the door, yay, we're all saved. No, you may not be. You may not be. I'm trying to help you understand. But you can't be lost once you're saved. You were born the son of, daughter of somebody. You were born that way. Uh-huh, you were. Now, can you be? Can I go and reach out here and say, I want you to be my father. I want you to be my mother. No, you can't do that. No, you can't. That's how you were born. When you're born spiritually by God, no one else can have you. No one else can have you. It's the way it is. He said, I'll lose nothing. Now, so therefore, wonderfully, if I can pick up, please, in verse 0, chapter 5 of Romans. In chapter 5, picking up in thought. And you will note in Romans in chapter 5, in verse 2, for time's sake, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, gift, God, Christ, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice. We're standing in wonderful expectancy, anticipation of God's wonderful plan as we travel, even so come, Lord Jesus. Verse 3, and not only so, but we glory in tribulations, and also knowing that tribulations, test, trial, and all the rest of it, worketh patience, bearing up under the load, so we don't back off, we don't back away, we work through it, so that we're educated. Therefore, verse 4, and working through it, patience, we get experience, we're educated, and enlightened, and encouraged. And verse 4, and experience produces a wonderful expectancy, anticipation, because we hung in there. And verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed. No. I hoping to go, Christ in you, the hope of glory. I mean, come on. Verse 5, and hope maketh not ashamed, because what? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And so God, here we are, and you've done all of this because you love us, and we share what is love. Love is what? Love is God. Love is a gift. The gift isn't love. God is love. God is love. He's the gift. When you receive God as your Savior, you received the love of God. God is love. 1 John 4:16. Wow. Now, so here we are, God, and the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts, so we're encouraged. All right. For the next 10 miles in the ocean, as we journey down the corridor of time, work and home and school and growing up, and all of us going down the corridor. Wow. Wow. Now, back over, if you would, to Romans and chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. And you will notice in Romans chapter 8, may I pick up, please, in the light of all of this, if I can, in verse 35. Who, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, we just read about it, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. So what? It looks like we're losers, but on the contrary. Now, you can't take away what? God, your relationship to him, and he being all things to you. And he isn't going to disappear because he loves to be to you who he is. He loves to be who he is to you. Mm-hmm. And therefore, what's going to separate us? Verse 38, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. That's everything. For height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, God, we have an awesome thing then. Nothing's going to separate us. So going down the corridor, what you put aboard our little ship, our little life, as we received you as our Savior, and you made us joint heirs, and you brought on board of our little heart all of your wonderful person for all of the wonderful benefits as we go down the corridor of time, and we're going down the corridor of time, and God, we're all going to show up, the promises and everything, whatever you got in mind. We're going to go down, we're learning to trust you and walk with you and grow and know we're walking in the light as you're in the light, God. And the blood of Jesus Christ is cleansing us all the time from all sin, as we shared this morning. And so we're going down, God. And we're able to go. We get out of bed tomorrow and give it another shot. Wow. I'm going to do all that because you love us. And nothing can separate us from you. That's the way it is. Now, two things. One over, if you would, to Psalm 42. Psalm 42. We shared it this morning on thirst. One of the big problems, why don't we ever get to God, find God, enjoy God? Because we don't thirst. We aren't thirsty. You only drink when you're thirsty. And we shared all of that so that you'd understand that. That I have to be wise enough and thoughtful enough about my whole being, my whole world. That I'm dust. And everything is marvelous. Piece of dust. Birds, bugs, flowers, humans. Wow. Awesome. Unique. Boy, am I more than dust. Everything around me is more than dust. Design in every way, shape, or form. Natural design and national design, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. God. Wow. Therefore, Psalm 42. Psalm 42. As the hart, the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God, looking for God's wonderful person? He's the gift in your life. And you're looking to God. And when you do that, as you know, at God, we're going to go, and that's why we're here in the church assembly, in the sanctuary, this sanctuary at this point in history. And at verse 4, and when I remembered these things, I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. And so therefore I discovered I had no reason to be sad, discouraged, disappointed, depressed. I had none. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted and disturbed in my heart and mind? Hope thou in God. That's right. A hope. No question. Where did I get hope? In trusting you, God. And I keep learning to be expectant of the next trip, the next mile, the next whatever it is. Hope. Why art thou cast down on my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. Why? For the help, the healing, the wholeness of his face. And remember the end of verse 11. And as you look to God, and look to God, God's encouraged at the ship, and you're encouraged. And you remember that illustration 100 years ago, whatever. And they're on board ship out there, all trying to get to where they're going, and the travelers were on the ship. And they wondered in the great storm of the ship, traveling, and wow, it didn't look like it was going to make it. No. So they sent one of the men up to represent them with the captain and wanted to know what they should do. And the fellow went in to see the captain at the wheel up there, heading into the waves. Wow, in that ship. And the captain turned around and looked at the man and smiled. Didn't say anything. And the man looked and saw the smile. And he went back down and said he smiled. He was smiling. He didn't need to say anything. I knew it was all right. God's smiling. Whether you see it or not, whether you understand it or not, God is smiling. And that's what changes your smile. His smile. In your journey, John, God has given you, in his wonderful grace, God has given you, has he not? The giver is in his gift. And God is this. That's Christmas. Wonderful, wonderful Christmas. God has given you himself. There is nothing better. And it isn't about a whole lot of churchiness or anything else. It's about a unique relationship to his wonderful person. Our Father and God, we thank you for your grace and kindness, and help us in every way. The all things, God, all things, you say it over and over, all things, God, and we turn around and away from all things to look at you, and we find in you all things. There's nothing, God, excluded from your wonderful will and plan, your ability, your presence, and your knowledge. God, thank you very much. Thank you for being our blessed hope. Thank you in Christ Jesus, God, that we are able to proceed looking to you with great thanksgiving. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen.